Coming up in this week's programme, we should be looking at Dr. Atkins' Diet Revolution. Yes, it's one of his oldest books, but it's also one of his best. We'll be visiting bulletproof.com, and Alan will be reporting on the speakers he saw at Paleo FX 2014. All that coming up in this week's programme. Hello, Mark Moxham here, and welcome to this week's edition of Low Carbon Paleo Show. Alan, how are you this week?
I am fine, thank you, and hello to everyone.
So, Alan, have you had a good week this week?
Yes, it was a very interesting, very exciting, and exhausting week for me because I was the assistant to all the dinner events 4 nights in a row, on top of going to the event and listening to some speakers and talking to some vendors about their products. So it was a very interesting week for me, for sure.
Excellent.
How about yours?
I've had a really good week, thank you, Alan. Lots of things accomplished, lots of things moving on to do with low carb and paleo. So we'll get to those a bit later on. They will be revealed at some future date. On to our book review for this week. We're going to be looking at Dr. Atkins' Diet Revolution. Now, many of you may know this book from a long time ago. In fact, it first came out in 1979. Alan, have you ever read Dr. Atkins' Diet Revolution?
I read a little bit about it, and it makes, for most of it, makes some sense. But at the time, I was very much more into my childhood diet, which is Mediterranean diet.
So. Now, that's good. And it's obviously done you well, the Mediterranean diet. Not as good as the paleo diet has done you, though, eh?
I'm still handsome.
This is true. Age. For those of you who've never read Dr. Atkins' Diet Revolution, and I have to say it's one of those books that changed my life and turned it around. Now, I didn't read it until the late 80s, early 90s. But that book was in many ways the foundation of what got me through from being a very large fatty type person to the slim and healthy person that I am now. A lot of people think that this book is one of those books that is just old fashioned and out of date, but that couldn't be further from the truth. I personally think that much of what Dr. Atkins wrote then is far more applicable now than it's ever been. It seems to me that the books that came after that, particularly those that weren't written by Dr. Atkins, even though they bear his name, aren't in any way as good as this original one. And if you think about it, this was written by Dr. Atkins really at the peak of what he was doing to help people get fit and lose the weight that they had. It wasn't written to be a commercial success. That was a mere accident. So the information in this book is information that works because it's been tried and tested. And in fact, when you get to read it, you'll see that a lot of what Dr. Atkins has said is based on the work that he's done with over 25,000 patients. So you can't say that it wasn't tried and tested by any means. The other great thing about this book is because it's such an old book, there are plenty of copies that you can pick up for even as low as 50 cents from many second-hand bookshops and flea markets. So there's no excuse for people not to get good diet information. Anyway, so that's the book review. Moving on. Now, Alan, I know you've had a great time at the Paleo FX this week. If I've understood right, the website that you want to visit today is one of those that you heard about at the event, isn't it?
Yes, it's actually a product that helped me survive the whole event, and it's called Bulletproof Coffee. I had heard about it a few months ago at People's Pharmacy, and even though we didn't use their coffee, we used a local brewer to offer a similar product to the Bulletproof Coffee, but you know, I thought the idea was very interesting. It's basically combining the power of coffee as a stimulant, you know, to help accelerate your metabolism, and the power of healthy fats. In this case, you have two choices. You can add medium chain fatty acid, which basically come from coconut, or you can use grass-fed butter, which is my personal favorite way of doing it. And you get all the benefits from the healthy fat, plus the, in the case of the butter, you get also the omega-3s from the grass-fed dairy. So For example, I don't drink personally. I don't drink coffee in the morning. I have a what I call a hot chocolate cocoa mocha concoction, which is made of almond milk. For those of you that are allergic to dairy, almond milk with pure cocoa powder, which is loaded with antioxidants, as you already know. And I add to that a good dried espresso powder. And to that, I add about a tablespoon of grass-fed butter. I blend the whole thing with a plunging blender so it makes it nice and foamy. And that's my energy drink in the morning.
Well, that's it. That sounds quite tasty, actually.
I'll tell you a little more about the actual bulletproof products in the product description a little bit later.
I'm looking forward to that. Okay,
And
let's.
oh, by the way, the website is bulletproof.com.
Okay, that's nice and nice and easy. Is it tasty though, Alan?
It's a very powerful when you drink it straight on without being my own concoction. If you drink straight on from the way they serve it at the booth, it's very powerful coffee. You take
Okay.
only really a couple of sips, and that gets you all cranked up for for the rest of the morning for sure. I have to admit, I had to go back after lunch to get another one, but that's more of a after meal coffee thing to
Okay, bit of a digestive. Okay. That sounds good. As a coffee, do you recommend it?
It's a good coffee. It's dark roasted, so I don't know if they if it was French roasted or Italian roasted, but it was very strong. Not an espresso, but somewhere in between a regular coffee, American style, and an espresso.
Okay.
So, pretty dark, pretty powerful. And the extra medium chain fatty acid also help, with my energy levels as well. So,
Excellent.
flavor wise, I like the taste. It's very good. And I drank it without sugar, which is not typically the way I drink it. But
Okay.
as long as it's a small amount and you take a couple of sips, it is absolutely, very good coffee. Yes.
Well, if you've tried that, then let us know what you think. So, Alan, do tell us about your time at PaleoFX 2014. Now, I know you were working there. You were in sort of in charge of a lot of the catering side, looking after food and making sure people were well fed. I know also that you managed to see quite a few speakers as well. Do you want to tell us about those?
Well, I did the best I could, considering there was a dozen of world-class speakers, physicians, nutritionists, research scientists, professional athletes, coaches, trainers, bloggers, podcasters, so on and so forth. So it was a very, very busy event. They had five stages. A lot of these talks or presentations or events happen at the same time, so it was very difficult to go and see everything. You couldn't possibly see 150 speakers and come out alive with your brain intact. So considering the responsibilities I had, the job I had to do on top of trying to squeeze in speakers and product, I basically picked the people that was my favorite interest, which is food and nutrition, and I managed to squeeze in a couple more people in between that. I was kind of curious about it, but I've never heard of them before, but it turned out to be a very good experience. So we had basically two premium mastermind panels and on the upstairs, which only people that paid for the premium ticket would be allowed to go. And those were you saw all the major names, the big names like Rob Wolf, Chris Kresser, Mark Sisson, and so on, Dr. Terry Walls. And then the downstairs was open to everyone that bought a ticket, and they had a strength and conditioning stage. There's a paleo on-ramp stage, which was mostly reserved for beginners or people that didn't know too much about paleo. There was kind of a getting to know paleo, what you could do and how you could do it without stressing. And then, of course, there was a cooking demo stage. So we had an assortment of chefs or nutritionists presenting their favorite dish. It was about 20 to 30 minute presentations typically, and it was one dish only. Of course, the cooking setup was pretty limited. They only had one stove to deal with, no ovens, no microwave, nothing. So it had to be either a cold kind of product, or it was something easy to do in a pan or a frying pan, or something like that. So I honestly didn't have time to see any of the cooking demonstrations. I wish I could, but I was too busy in the mornings to do that. Most of the cooking shows were in the morning. But as far as the big names that I wanted to see, I was privileged to see Chris Kressler, which is he's an acupuncturist and a nutritionist and very active out there. His presentation was how to win an argument with a paleo critic. So, if
Are
you
there
have
really people who
someone,
criticize paleo?
yeah, if you have a discussion with a friend and he says, well, paleo eats too much meat and there's too much fat and there's not enough variety or any of these issues, then he gave us tips on how to address these issues, and not necessarily convince the other side, just let them know. I mean, the one thing that they stress basically throughout the talks is that our job is not to convince or convert people to paleo, but to be able to talk about it without being, getting all emotional about it. So that's one thing that I appreciate with that, is that, you could have a discussion with that, make your points, and then walk away knowing that, you were honest about it, and you didn't have to start an argument with the whole thing. Another speaker that I liked was Dr. Hamilton Staple. Honestly, I was not familiar with him at all before I actually heard him talk. And he's a professor at New York University, Platt in upstate New York. And his talk was about obstacles to popularizing the ancestral diet. His point was, and of course I'm summarizing about 45 minutes of talks here, and I can't possibly do it justice as much as I'd like to. By the way, all of these talks are available on the Paleo Effects website. So if you go to paleoeffects.com, you can have access to all the stocks. There's a small fee, it's about $30, for a group of discussions, and you can pick and choose your discussion and you
That's very
pay as
good.
you go. So we have Dr. Staple talked about how even though the paleo movement is growing by leaps and bounds, it's becoming more than just a fad diet. There are many, many people that still question the validity of the paleo diet. Of course, the most obvious opponents are the vegetarian and the vegan group, because
Well, because we eat meat, basically, yeah.
one of the most misunderstood part is that all of us cave people, we only eat meat, and then we walk around with a loincloth and a club, yeah. And of course, we're not eating exactly like the way our ancestors used to eat. It's very rare to actually hunt and gather your own food, although I did meet one person that was had a very interesting talk on gathering your own food, and I'll get to it in a minute. So basically we just adapt the philosophy of paleo eating to the current times, and we try to eat healthy, good quality meat and protein. and good quality fruits and vegetables. And one of the comments I get a lot is, well, that sounds very limiting. You know, no grains, no beans, no processed food, no dairy. I mean, what do I eat? And I say, you know, it's really actually it simplifies things if you
Does,
focus on quality products. All you have to worry about is to get your protein, your fruits and vegetables, and then discard everything else. Makes
yeah,
your
that's
life a
true.
lot easier.
This is true. And you know the great thing I like about not sort of eating no grains, no root vegetables, no high carb stuff and things like that is that I have no doctors, no medical bills,
That's true.
no health problems. So, you know, I'd much rather not have the grains and the pastas and everything else and not have the doctors either.
Now, keep in mind, I'm just being honest here. Keep in mind the paleo diet allows for a little bit of cheating.
Yeah.
So, you know, in my case, my cheating, and I'm saying that to the whole world, my cheating is I have to have my corn chips. My corn chip is like, since I can't have bread and I can't have any grain, that's my corn chip is kind of my substitute for bread, and I use it basically with my salad. I have to eat something crunchy, you know, and salty. It's a guy thing, I guess. Salty. Ladies prefer sugar, and guys prefer salty in general. I have to have something crunchy and salty, so that's my cheat. It's corn chips.
But you don't eat a whole wagon of them, do you?
No, I just eat. Actually, I'm very disciplined about it. I eat just a bowl of it, you know, with my salad, and that's that kind of helps, you know, with digestion as well. If I go through maybe one bag a week, that's all. You know, the whole week, one bag. I know because I do the shopping myself, so I know exactly what I buy every week.
Best
So,
way.
moving along, one of my favorite doctors was on Dr. Terry Walls. Dr. Walls is a lady in I would say I probably should not even mention age, but she's an MD, and so she's a doctor, and she was trained the traditional way, Western medicine, drugs and all that good stuff. And all of a sudden she started to suffer from MS.
All right.
You know, so she, as any doctor would do, she went to the typical Western medicine route and started taking drugs and doing therapy and this and that, and nothing seemed to work, and she was getting worse and worse. And after a few couple of years of that, she ended up in a wheelchair, a motorized wheelchair, just to do her job because she had to do rounds at the hospital that she worked at. And so she had to do rounds, and so her students were following her, and she was going around with a motorized wheelchair. But being the person that she is, she was bound and determined to find a way to heal herself. And so she went on the other side. She went away from the dark side to the light side. And she started looking into nutrition and you know, the effect of food on one's health. And she, with her background, she studied, well, what kind of vitamins, mineral would be beneficial to help with my MS? She found those, and but instead of taking them in form of pills, which most of the time are synthetic or contain genetically engineered ingredients, she decided to go all the way and use food as a source of vitamin and minerals, which makes absolutely sense to me. And so she developed this protocol, which is called the Walls Protocol, and advocates eating 6 to 8 cups of leafy greens and colorful vegetables every day. And you know, you would have to work with your nutritionist to have a program that would fit you personally. But the general idea is that you provide your body with the proper natural, and I mean natural in the sense coming from nature, vitamins and minerals your body need to heal itself, because let's face it, we're not healing our body, the body is healing itself.
Yeah,
So
yeah.
our job is to provide the right nutrients in order to help it heal itself. And this is what the WALS protocol is doing.
Excellent.
So I was very impressed by her first book, but the second one seems to be even better because it's a result of the past 3 years of her actually using it on herself.
So she actually used herself as her own guinea pig.
She was because there's no official studies done to that
No.
effect
Yeah.
until she actually did it to herself. And now she's sponsoring, or she's trying to get funds to sponsor other scientific double bind studies so that she can prove that the protocol she's using is actually beneficial for everyone, not just her.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I did very much the same when I developed the snack box diet. I
Right.
used myself as a guinea pig,
Yeah.
simply because you can see and check the results so much more easily because you're always there.
You're always there, and besides you, who better than yourself knows your body?
Exactly,
And
exactly.
let me give you a good example. So I eat a very clean diet in general, but yesterday
Apart from the corn chips, yeah.
I was walking by one of those fast food places. And I had a, what do you call, a hankering for French fries. Oh my God, yes. But I still follow my cheating. I'm allowed to cheat once in a while. But anyway, so I went in and got my French fries. Well, guess what? This morning my body told me very clearly it was not happy with me and the French fries.
No, I have exactly the same. You know, I love bread. If anything was a weakness, it would be bread for me, but I just can't eat it. My body says no and pays me
No,
back the next day.
and they will let you know right away, you know.
Yeah.
I won't describe the details, but I think you understand what I'm talking about. Yummy, yummy. One of my big favorite is Rob Wolf, which I mentioned before in a previous program. And his talk was on the benefits of a ketogenic diet for traumatic brain injury. What he does is he works with first responders, and he goes to or he connects with people that have accidents, especially related to brain shocks. So, for example, if you have a car accident and your head hits the window, or if you tripped and fall and hit your head backwards, or any kind of shock to the brain. He wanted to test a theory, which was that you can help reduce the inflammation caused by the injury with the proper diet. So not just using drugs. Now, typically they use drugs and to try to reduce the inflammation level. I mean, if you get a shock or any kind of injury in your body will protect itself by creating inflammation, and in the case of the brain, it will actually tend to expand a little bit, you know. And he showed us some MRIs screenings, and it was pretty impressive how literally this one patient that just slipped and fall on ice, and he hit the back of his head, and you could see the back of his brain was literally flattened. And you could see on the MRI, you could see the whole area being just bright red inflammation, because your brain is trying to heal itself, you know. So through diet, he's helping these people. So again, it's about eating a diet full of antioxidants, because inflammation is created by free radicals, and you're trying to eliminate that by eating antioxidants. So the effect of antioxidants will actually reduce the inflammation and heal, or help heal, the patient much faster than the typical way. So I thought that was a fascinating talk. A little bit above my head. I'm not a scientist, so I use a lot of scientific terms, but the general idea was very very interesting.
That's good. That's good. Who else was there that struck your fancy?
Well, my next person that I liked a lot is Dr. Shauna Yang. She's a naturopath. She works typically with diet to help her patient. She specializes especially with autistic, ADD, ADHD, Asperger's spectrum clients. And the talk was called Hope is on Your Plate. What she's found out is in a lot of cases, a lot of the patients are the manganese imbalance. So we need to stay healthy. We need to keep a healthy balance between iron and manganese. And because of either the diet or the result of autism or other brain issues, your manganese typically, when she tested her clients, typically the manganese level was out of whack. It was too high, not normal. And what happens is that manganese and iron are fighting for the same receptors on the brain. And so if there's too much manganese in your diet, then the iron level goes lower, and then there's an influence on the brain. This is an actual influence on the brain functions. So the first thing she does is she does a test, manganese level, iron level, manganese level, and see if they are correct or if they're out of balance. And then through diet, she will rebalance the levels to lower the manganese and increase the iron. And she has found amazing results with that kind of diet. So again, this is why it's so interesting for me, and I really want to study what she's doing even deeper, because one of my focus is working with autistic children. And I'm curious to see exactly what she offers her clients. So, typically looking for iron-loaded foods. Liver is one of them, and that's the number one. That would be number one source. But if you do eat liver, make sure that the liver source is clean. So make sure it's liver from a grass-fed cow or your animal.
So let me just make sure I understand this. So she was saying that we're eating food that has too much manganese in it.
Yes. So she said that typically a lot of processed food have an overabundance of manganese. She mentioned soy as being one of the main culprit. She
Really?
says that formulas, baby formulas, contain 400 to 600 times the accepted level of manganese by the
Gosh.
RDA.
Gosh.
So you start a baby, if the baby is not breastfed, then you start a baby on a diet that's highly imbalanced in manganese, and it could affect their brains. And she was of the opinion that autism is not necessarily just one factor. A lot of people like to focus only on the shots, containing mercury, and that's what's causing autism. It could be one reason, but she pointed out that in her opinion, not breastfeeding and feeding the baby a soy-based milk could also be the cause of autism. And if you put all of this together, it could be just a combination of things, not just one thing. So she's personally herself, she's working on that manganese, iron manganese imbalance, and she's correcting that through diet, and she says she's had amazing results with it. So I was
That's
very
excellent.
impressed with that.
That's
Very
excellent.
impressed.
So, have you got one more for us?
The last one, and this is the that was the most fun one. It was about the gross effect and the evolution of disgust. Gross as in when you look at something that disgusts you and you go gross. I mean, at least especially kids, they say that all the
Oh,
time,
that's
gross.
gross.
Yeah, it's gross. Not only the presentation was fun, because of course he showed us a lot of pictures of gross things, which most of us really, we can say gross, but it's kind of fun too, unless it's feces, of course. That's not too much fun. But he showed us pictures of, for example, bugs. Well, in some cultures they eat bugs like there's no tomorrow, and they don't
I do,
cringe
yeah.
at it. But you show me a bug and I'll go gross, you know. Another common example is blue cheese.
So I can't give you battered weevils then.
No. But part of the product's presentation, I have a good one for you when we get to that. So going back to this one, a good example would be if you you give blue cheese or Roquefort to a Frenchman, he'll never think twice about it, right?
No, it's lovely.
Or if you get, what's the name of that stinky cheese in England? Munster? There's a very stinky cheese in England.
Yeah.
And for most Americans, even some French, even though we're pretty used to that, you know, that cheese is kind of gross.
Yeah.
Well, if you show blue cheese or Roquefort to an American, they'll go, ooh, this is
stinky.
Well, it's not only it stinks, but it's got mold in it.
Mm.
And for a lot of Americans, mold is bad.
Lovely.
Well, but you know, again, so we have a cultural indoctrination. You also have a religion effect, because in some religion, whether it's Islam or strict Jewish, they were not allowed to eat certain foods. You know, if you present pork to a strict Jewish observant or an Islamist, not only they'll say gross, but they'll probably, you know, smack you in the back of the head, right? So, from my point of view, I tried kimchi, and kimchi is from Korea, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I tried the real recipe, and it grossed me out. And it's I know it's a good product, I know it's good fermentation, but I'd rather eat sauerkraut, which I'm familiar with, than kimchi, because the taste of kimchi doesn't work for me.
No, I guess it's something you're brought up with, isn't it, really?
Well, yeah, there's that. There's also, there was a very interesting, we had a little bit of a discussion, him and I, on the fact that what a lot of it comes down to fear. So fear of getting sick, fear of the unknown. At least that was my feeling, and he didn't seem to quite agree with that. He thought that was just kind of an evolution kind of thing. In nature, if you, for example, you eat, if you're a paleo person and you eat a berry and it's very bitter, automatically you will tend to think it's poisonous or it's bad for you.
Yeah.
It's kind of a self-preservation thing. If you eat it a little bit and you survive it and it's kind of sweet and it turns out there are wild berries, then you'll be fine. But if there are poisonous berries, of course, if you eat a little bit, you'll be a little bit sick. Or if you eat a lot, you'll probably die from it.
Yeah.
Or if you pick the wrong mushroom, for example.
Yeah.
Those are a little more difficult to figure out which one could be dangerous. So the whole disgust, typical disgust, is a sort of defense mechanism when you look at it from the point of evolution.
Yeah, yeah. You eat what you know you can eat.
Well, but you know from one or two things. You know from your culture, from your religion, or you know by trying it yourself. In my case, I could go over my original disgust of kimchi because I know it's good for me, and eventually I might get used to it.
Yeah, yeah. It's a bit like drinking British beer. First time you drink it, you wonder why you bothered, but, you know, it's an acquired taste.
Right, right. I wouldn't know.
I've never acquired it, so I wouldn't know either.
I never drink beer. Give me champagne or red wine, but beer, I don't know anything about it. So even though I know it's fermented and it's supposed to be good for you, I'll drink mine in the form of kombucha instead. So that's about all I can say about the presenter I saw myself.
So in general, would you say the presenters and the presentations were good quality?
Oh, absolutely, yes. They honestly thought that the rooms were a little small. We could have easily squeezed in at least another 100 people every time. And there was people, you know, because we have a fire regulation, we're not allowed to allow people to enter if there's beyond a certain capacity. So there's people, outside, and they, through the open door, they were trying to listen to what was going on, so we will double the capacity next year.
Okay,
So
that sounds good.
this year we had 30,000 square feet, next year we'll have about 60,000 square feet. So
So in other words, what you're saying is if people want to know about Paleo, then Paleo FX is the place to come next year.
Or you can go on the site and you can watch all the presentations there. You can pick and choose and then decide which one you want to listen and you pay as you go.
Excellent, excellent. Well, that's super. So, Alan, that's been a wonderful recap on Paleo FX 2014. I won't take the microphone away from you yet because, if I remember rightly, in our early discussion, you said you had a great tip about salt as well.
Well, salt, as most of us, we've been raised on, you know, the typical can of salt, processed salt on the table.
Mm.
You know the one I'm talking about. I mean, there's different name, but the one in America, the most well-known is molten salt.
Mm-hmm.
And what I've learned through my research is that this is a highly processed product. Not only the salt is overheated to the point where it's not absorbed by the body, it contains also additional fillers to make it flow.
Yeah,
and you combine all of this and it doesn't make it a very healthy product. So my personal, I have two personal favorites. One is sea salt from France. It doesn't have to be from France, but because I'm French, it just happens that's what I use. There's plenty of sea salts from different regions. Typically, they are slightly gray because they contain all the minerals. And they are unprocessed, they are unheated, they're just dried in the sun typically. So they're full of minerals, which our body needs. And or another source which is becoming more popular nowadays, the Himalayan salt. It's mined out of salt mines in Himalaya, and it turns out that this particular one is pink. And so pink Himalayan salt is not only good to eat, but it also has healing abilities. You can take a bath in with it, and some people brush their teeth with it. It is greedy, but it will not aggress your animal. Yes.
Okay, that's a good tip. So don't have processed salt, have natural salt.
Yes, sir.
That's something that I can only agree with. Okay, that's everything from the Low Carb Paleo show for this week. I hope you've enjoyed it. And you'll see us again next week where we'll be sharing more tips, more hints, more of everything to make your low-carb and paleo lives that much better. So it's goodbye from me, Mark Moxham.
And goodbye to all of you. Thank you for being with us. And à votre santé from Chef Alain Bro.
Goodbye. See you next time.